Let's hear God's word being read to us from Galatians chapter 5.
For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbour as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarrelling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. Notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. And even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things, for I bear in my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, David. Let's pray. Father, may our ears be open to what you have to say to us today. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the fourth week in a series that we've been doing on Sunday mornings, focusing on Paul's letter to the Galatians. We've gone through it pretty quickly. There's a lot of detail that we haven't looked at. Some of us have been looking at it in house groups, trying to get some more detail. We also did a Sunday evening service where I tried to give an overview of the whole letter, and that recording is available on the church website. But to remind you sort of where we've got so far, on week one, Paul's emphasis was that the message that he was giving was not something that he'd made up. This story about Jesus is not just a story, it's not a fairy tale, but he talks both about the way that he had his own personal encounter with the Lord Jesus and how it changed him, and also how eventually he had checked out the message that he was preaching with the people who knew Jesus first time around, so to speak, while Jesus was walking around on this earth. And he had confirmed that what he was preaching was the truth. So that's the first thing from Galatians. We didn't make up this message. This message about Jesus is one that goes right back to the first generation of those who believed in him. And if you were around in the summer as well, you'll remember that we looked at Peter's second letter and how he was making exactly the same point in his letter, that he wasn't making up clever stories, but he was talking from his own experience. He had seen the Lord. He had seen the Lord transformed. He'd heard the voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." The second week, we were looking at how we get a relationship with God. And the message that week was faith, 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 faith. The way to a relationship with God, the way our relationship with God gets put right is because we believe in Jesus. Because Jesus has risen from the dead, and therefore by having faith with him, we get linked in to the new life that he offers us. Last week we were talking about freedom, the freedom that Jesus brings to us. And last week, the main emphasis was on what freedom is not about, that freedom is not about obeying the law, that freedom is not about obeying a list of rules and regulations. And I did that picture last week about the child riding the bike with stabilizers and how if you really want to ride the bike well, you have to take the stabilizers off. And that's the point that Paul is making. You might start with a list of rules and regulations that you have to do, but they are not the way to live free for Christ. So today, as we again come to this idea that Jesus has made us free, we want to examine how this freedom works, what it means to live within this freedom. Because we are free, but we have to live free, don't we? I mean, we hear stories on time to time, you know, people maybe who've been in prison for years, yeah? And the word that's used to describe them is they get institutionalized. You know what that idea means? You know, that they are so used to living in prison, they get used to the fact that their meals are made for them at certain times, that they're being told what to do, that when it actually comes to trying to live free, they find it incredibly hard to do. And therefore, some people who leave prison actually want to go back to their former captivity because it's easier to live there. Same thing happens to people who start believing in Jesus. Jesus sets us free. The Israelites of old escaped from Egypt, but after a while, slavery of Egypt seemed easier than the freedom that God had given to them. So our task that we're looking at today is about how we live in that freedom, how we stay in the freedom that God has given to us. And if you heard last week's sermon, the first point that we want to draw out from this is one we were looking at last week as well. You will not become free by obeying the rules. The rules actually tie you up. No, the way to freedom, Paul says, is about being led by the Holy Spirit. And I won't repeat all the stuff I said last week about the problems that rule-keeping leads us into. Now, in verse 19 to 20, what 22, 23 of our reading, Paul looks at two groups of behaviors. There is the first group that he calls the acts of the flesh, is what it says in most translations. And by the flesh, roughly what Paul means is how we act when we're not in contact with God's Spirit, when we use our bodies to try and work out what to do. And Paul says that that is a place of captivity because your body has all sorts of desires. And if those bodies are not being trained by the work of God's Spirit within our life, they will lead us into all sorts of difficulties. So in the translation I've got in front of me, it says the acts of the flesh are obvious. Or as it said in the translation that David read from, you know, when we follow our sinful nature, what will happen is very clear. And then Paul gives this list of things and he says to them, right, this is the sort of thing that happens when you're not being led by the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not planning this morning to look at these in any detail because Paul says they're obvious. If something is not of God, it's pretty obvious if you look at it that something is wrong. We don't really need even to read our Bibles to work out that things are wrong. Just to pick one or two examples, selfish ambition is on the list. If you are living a life that's about, if I'm living a life that's about me, I want to get to the top, I don't care what happens to everybody else, then it's pretty clear that that isn't the way that God wants me to be living. When he talks about hatred, if I hate you, I'm clearly not in line with what God wants me to do. And so we could go on. all the way through that list. If we don't live by the Spirit of God, the results will be obvious. Things will go wrong. And people say, well, why does so much wrong happen in the world? Well, because we're not living in line with the Spirit of God. And Paul is saying that trying to live apart from the Spirit of God is actually captivity. There's a great modern word that Paul didn't have in his vocabulary, but it sums up what he's trying to say. The word is addiction. That whatever behaviors we have, they trap us. We can't get out. It is oh so hard to change. And that doesn't just apply to things like drinking and drugs and smoking and stuff like that. It applies to any sort of behavior that is out of God's will. And Paul says in verse 21, I warn you that people who behave like this won't inherit the kingdom of God. He's saying what God is looking for is a group of people who are learning to be led by God's Spirit. Not a perfect group of people, there's no such thing as that. But a people who are open to what God's Spirit is saying, who are seeking to live that sort of way, and who actually, by their actions, become like outposts of God's kingdom in a world that is not under God's command. And Paul says, there are people who inherit this incredible promise. The fruit of the Spirit, the result of letting God's Spirit loose in your life, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is slightly different to patience. It's almost the same, but it has more of a sense of being able to put up with people. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what God is about bringing into our lives. That's how God wants us to behave. It's not about having a list of things that we can do and a list of things that we can't, which is what Paul says. He says, against these things, there isn't a law. If we're going to be loving, then that's from the Spirit. If we're bringing joy into people's life, it's of the Spirit. If it's peaceful, it's of the Spirit. If it's patience, it's of the Spirit. Lost my place there. If it's goodness, it's of the Spirit. If it's faithfulness, if it's gentleness, if it's self-control. Paul says, there's no law against these things. This is what God wants from you. And he says, since we live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Now, when Paul talks about being led by the Spirit, that might make us think a bit too exotically. You know, you might think, well, what that means is that we should go somewhere and we should pray and we should see what God's telling us to do and we should try and do that. I think that's a great idea. I wouldn't knock that for one second. We believe in prayer. We're starting on the sheets to promote a prayer day that we're going to be having soon as a church. We want to come together. We want to seek God. We want to see how he's leading us. That's something we need to do regularly. We've got the picture on the wall there from last year's prayer day. A strong church is a church that prays together. We believe in coming together and praying and seeing how God is leading us. And Paul would certainly agree with that. But that actually isn't quite what he's saying here. What he's saying here is that the way to keep in step with the Spirit is to know the sort of things that the Spirit likes and seek to get on with them. You don't need any specific guidance from God to start being loving. You don't need specific guidance from God to start saying, let's bring some joy into somebody's life. You don't need specific guidance from God to go into workplace tomorrow and to say, I'm going to be a person of peace here. And yes, if God leads you specifically, that's fantastic. Pray God he will. But we don't hang around waiting for God to give us that sort of specific guidance. And Paul says, and we were looking at this with the in the first part of our service today, you know, this isn't about us seeking to do everything ourselves. This isn't about us trying to please God. Well, no, we are seeking to please God, correct that. But it's not us seeking, trying to establish our relationship with God by doing good things. But we were talking earlier in the service today about apples and pips or seeds, whatever you call them, and how it only takes a tiny seed to produce the apple tree. And when we talk about sowing to please the Spirit, which is how Paul puts it, he's saying to us, sow some love into the world. Sow some joy into the world. Sow some peace into the world. And so on through the rest of the verse. And he's saying, then let the Holy Spirit of God get to grips with what you do. And just as this seed gets planted into the ground, and just as this seed produces something huge that produces so much more, so if we sow to please the Spirit, if we bring a bit of love tomorrow somewhere, God can work with that. If we bring joy tomorrow, God can work with that. I found these taken home last night for ironing. Paul says in our reading today, he says, don't... you know, since you've been called to freedom, don't use the freedom to indulge your flesh. And remember that the flesh is about, you know, what you do when you're not in contact with God, when you're not listening to God. But he says, humbly, serve one another in love. That's what will please the Spirit. Doing things practically for each other and making sure that we're trying to do them, not just the right things for each other, but in the right sort of way. So my apron, it's got love, joy, peace, and it's got the love symbol on it. My only complaint about this morning is I'd like it to have the other six parts of the fruit of the Spirit as well. But love, joy, and peace is a fantastic starting point. Learn to love. Learn to serve. You want the Holy Spirit to move in your life? You want the Holy Spirit to do great things? Here's how it works, Paul is saying. Whoever sows to reap the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. When we were talking about the seed earlier on in the service, I sort of made a bit of a joke. You know, anybody want some apples in a few years? Well, here's a seed. Paul's saying, be confident in the things you are planting. Now, if you plant a seed, you don't know whether that seed's going to come and turn into a tree or not. But what is certain is planting the seed is the only way to get the tree. And what is certain as well is that seeds naturally turn into the tree that produces more fruit. So Paul is saying to us in Scripture today, plant those seeds, make them happen. Don't get tired of doing it. Because just like a farmer cannot afford to get tired when he is planting seeds, so we must not get tired either. And then he says these fantastic verses, this fantastic verse. As we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people and especially to the family of believers. Let's do good to everybody. That's what we've been called to. And we think, wow, that's a huge thing to take on. Yeah, it is. We can't take that on ourselves. But every one of us can plant a few seeds. Every one of us can do something and see what God does with it. And Paul promises us that God knows how to make seeds grow. Yeah, the biologist can try and explain what happens to my apple seed. But the ultimate answer is God. And people can try and explain what can happen when we seek to sow to please the Spirit, when we seek to exercise our Christian freedom in the right way. Amazing things that God will do. And as Paul comes to the end, he wants to say something in his own hand. He wants to write it down himself because it's so important. See what large letters I write. Paul had a sight problem, we think. We think he's probably referring to that earlier in the letter. His body was not in great shape, but his spirit was in a fantastic shape. And he says, he goes back to the circumcision thing. You know, hey, circumcision is just going to get you under law. Don't go down there. Not a good way to go. And then he says this, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. What counts is what God is doing. And when we have faith in Jesus, when we believe in him, we are linking ourselves to that new creation in Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. And when we seek to sow love, joy, and peace, and the rest of it in his name, we're not just doing it because it's a good thing to do. We're not just doing it because it's a nice thing to do. We're not even doing it because we think that this will make the world a better place. We're doing it because we believe in Jesus. We're doing it because if Jesus is raised from the dead, then Jesus can take the things that we offer to him and he can turn them. And he will turn them into something incredible. So don't get weary in doing good. Don't be weary in spreading love, joy, and peace, and the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul finishes his letter, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters." May we know God's grace, and may we pass that grace out into this world, which needs to know that there is a new creation, which needs to know that Jesus is alive and well and living in his church. Let's pray together. Father, sometimes we do get weary. Sometimes we're tempted to go back to a list of rules and regulations. But Father, we want to live by your Spirit. We want to do the things that please the Spirit. So, Father, we pray you'd help us to do that. Lord, as we worship now, Lord, speak to us. Lord, may we know that we are loved so that we can pass on that love to other people. May we know that we bring you joy so that we can bring joy to others. May we know that we have peace with you so we can pass that peace on to other folk. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.